Hi, mein Name ist Nathalie und ich heiße euch herzlich willkommen zu meiner Startup-Schule. Ich freue mich, dass ich euch bei eurem Vorhaben, egal welcher Art es auch ist, von Beginn an begleiten und unterstützen darf. Hast du also ein Startup in Planung oder möchtest dich selbst weiterentwickeln oder hast irgendein Vorhaben, bei dem du nicht genau weißt, wie du anfangen sollst, dann bist du bei mir hier genau richtig.
Hallo ihr Lieben und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Interviewfolge im Startup-Schule Podcast. Heute mit einem ganz besonderen Gast und ich muss schon fast wieder lächeln, weil ich das eigentlich immer sage, aber heute ist es wirklich special, weil es die Premiere ist, das erste Interview auf Englisch, denn ich führe es mit der Australierin Claire, die ein Kosmetik-Label ins Leben gerufen hat und zwar macht sie Öle. Und die sind auf natürlicher Basis hergestellt, vegan, organic und das Produkt ist einfach fantastisch. Also ich kann das gar nicht anders sagen. Ich habe es selber geschenkt bekommen, ausprobiert und war sofort verliebt. Und Claire ist etwas ganz Besonderes. Die Geschichte ihres Unternehmens basiert nämlich auf ihrer Großmutter. Und von ihr hat sie die ganzen Rezepte und von ihr kennt sie auch die Naturkosmetik. Ja, und sie teilt ganz, ganz wertvolles Gründerwissen mit uns. Nicht nur Gründerwissen, auch Insights, generell Mindset-Themen besprechen wir. Wir haben wirklich ganz, ganz viele hilfreiche Tipps und Tricks. Und sie verrät uns auch, warum sie Entrepreneur ihres eigenen Lebens ist. Und fasst das Ganze wunderbar zusammen. Ja, und weil wir uns so gut verstanden haben und überhaupt so schön connected haben, hat sie uns ein Gewinnspiel ermöglicht. Und zwar könnt ihr eines ihrer Produkte gewinnen. Sie stellt uns 5 Produkte meiner Wahl zur Verfügung. Wie ihr mitmachen könnt, seht ihr in meinem neuesten Post auf Instagram. Der Account heißt startup-schule. Und wenn ihr mir nicht folgt, schreibt mir einfach eine E-Mail an info@startup-schule.com. Dann schicke ich euch die Teilnahmebedingungen. Jetzt wünsche ich euch aber erstmal ganz viel Freude beim Zuhören. Es ist ein grandioses Interview. Es hat mir unglaublich viel Spaß gemacht. Und Claire ist echt eine Powerfrau. Aber jetzt hört einfach selbst. Ganz, ganz viel Spaß.
Hey Claire, it's so nice to have you today in my podcast Startup Schule. And actually it's the first interview in English, so I'm very excited.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And I'm
going to tell my community the story how I found your products as well. But first of all, welcome to my podcast.
Hi, thank you.
I already told you that a friend of mine, she brought your product to my house as a gift for me. And I was so happy to, when I tried it, your oil, I was so happy for my face.
This is the best story ever. This is, as I said, it's like, this is the coolest way for anyone to be introduced to a product is when your best friend buys it for you. And then, because they loved it themselves. And then I think that's really good about girls as well, is that when we like something, we always share it with our friends.
Yeah. And I guess that my community is very excited now what kind of product it is. And tell me something about yourself, about your startup, and maybe also how you pronounce your product or what's the brand's name. I was not sure.
This is like, yeah, I have so many people. I don't think anyone's ever pronounced it correctly yet. So my name's Claire and I founded a skincare company called Mairmi. It's called Mairmi. Mair, like Mair. That's how you would write it if you had to pronounce it.
That's so cute.
Yeah, so it is my grandma's name. Her name was Mary and I could never say Mary. So I said Mairmi and it was her nickname. And so now the whole family calls her Mairmi ever since.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and she was a really, really cool woman. She lived on a farm in the middle of nowhere in Australia where my dad grew up, and she was so into natural, but really into like simplistic things. She made everything from scratch. She, everything she made, everything she wanted to buy, she made it herself, whether it was like jam, clothing, everything. And so she was such a cool grandma. And as a kid, you always find stuff like this really, you know, she's a fun person to be around.
Nice.
And when we had any kind of like skin sunburn or something growing up, she would always go to the garden and get aloe vera. She was obsessed with eucalyptus oil. Yeah, you name it. She was an expert in everything natural.
Nice. So you took her as an inspiration and you created your company. How did you start then? And how did you just take the inspiration and turn it into your what's here right now, like the product?
Yeah. Oh, it was so, if you asked me for 5 years ago, you'll have a skincare company in Berlin, Germany. I would have been like, what? So it's the weirdest evolution of how things have happened. I always did love skincare and I studied it briefly in Australia. Just when I finished school and I wasn't really sure what to do, I went to the Australian College of Natural Beauty and I did a course in, you know, kind of makeup and preclinical skincare skills. But I never thought that it would turn into a job. I just did it because I really enjoyed learning about which products are better for you than the mainstream drugstore cosmetics. So it was more for passion. And then now I think now the research I do on my own time is more than any study.
Nice.
You know, if you really love something naturally, you retain information more and you're much better at looking at everything else. So
that's actually why I was so excited about your and so curious about your product, because I read that it's vegan and that it's organic, and I was so excited to try it, and now I love it.
Are you vegan yourself or organic?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I ran off my cream for my face, my facial cream, and then it was perfect. And yeah, I will tell my friend tomorrow that I love your product and
I love it so much. May I ask you now as well, do you prefer having an oil or a cream? What's your preference?
If you had asked me before, I would have said cream. But now I really like the oil. Actually, it's the first time in my life that I use oil for my face. Yeah.
Yeah, oils are getting their moment now. It's so exciting. It's like, you know, it's like everyone used to always be scared of eating too much fat, and then now avocados are the coolest food.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's starting to get back into focus with what's really healthy for you. So
yeah. So for my community, you started your company then how many years ago?
Okay, so when I came to Berlin, I had no idea what to do. I was only supposed to be in Berlin for 10 days. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go to Paris. I was modeling at the time and, it was crazy. I had to lose 4 more kilos and then the contract didn't work out. And so I had to stay in Berlin and I had no visa, no luggage. They lost my suitcase for 3 months. I had no friends or family, like $1,000 left in my bank account. No idea what to do. But then I just, four years later, I have a company now. But anyway, so then I had to find a job after I had to stay in Berlin, and I was working interning at places, didn't really like it, realized I couldn't buy the rosehip oil anywhere, because I just thought you could buy rosehip oil everywhere. If you go to a DM or in Australia, you can find like 5 competitive brands. And then I was like, okay, well, where am I going to buy this? And then on Amazon, I saw that it was really crap quality. And then it just kept rolling. Okay, why don't I do it myself? And I was living in a big year with really inspiring guys who were starting their own companies. And they were, I think, 27 years old. And I was 22 at the time. So I looked up to them a lot. Mm-hmm. Kind of got, you know, if you're in an environment like that where everyone's doing something, you don't feel like it's completely off limits. So I think it was the combination of being in a really inspiring big year with these two guys. I think one had even had a failed. They both had one failed company before, and we're now doing the second, third attempt now. Both having a startup on the side. One was inventing stuff. The other one was doing e-commerce. And
that's very interesting because I always ask myself, why do people found companies? Do they have like roots in their families that their ancestors, for example, were very entrepreneurial, something, or was it really
it's a genetic? I really think that as well.
But do you have entrepreneurs in your family or not at all?
It's really weird. My dad, in a sense, is an entrepreneur. So we were a farming family in Australia, actually like a beef farm. I also have been vegan, so I've done the whole circle of all that stuff. Yeah, but anyway, my dad moved from the country to the city when he was like, you know, way too late in quotes to say that, like, he was in his mid-30s, which is way too old to be starting something new, and he left the village, and everyone was like, what are you, this is crazy. Yeah. And he had no, didn't really finish high school. Mm-hmm. And then now he set up his own company in Brisbane doing property development. And wow. Yeah, so then, and I, you don't realize that that is actually entrepreneurial, but he also took a big risk leaving his town, and then I've kind of done that as well in the same sense.
Nice.
When I think about it.
Yeah. So these two boys, they kind of inspired you, and did they give you, or just to understand, what were the first steps that you took? Did they kind of advise?
It's actually funny that I didn't think about it again till now, that it wasn't, they didn't do anything in particular. One even said, I don't think you're ready to have your own startup. Can you not see how stressed we are? This is crazy, you know, and we have business degrees and everything. And it was just more being around people who showed that it was possible, that it was even an option. Because I never thought having my own company in Germany would even be possible. But when you're, I don't know, it's just the subconscious of being around people having it done on day to day.
Yeah.
So I had this oil, and that's, I think that's, they always say in business, you need to be solving a problem, making something better, or it's, a gap in the market type thing. And mine was really taking a product from another country that wasn't available in this market. Yeah. So it's kind of like filling the gap. But I naturally had a use for it and a passion for it. So it wasn't not reinventing the wheel or anything, but yeah, it was a lot of research to.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And how did you proceed? Did you just find some test clients at first, or did you?
I had to find the suppliers. Sorry, I keep cutting you off. I don't know if you're.
No, it's fine. I'm so excited. Yeah. Just keep going.
So I had to. I mean, for the first year, I was doing it in the evenings, and I think what's really cool, if anyone asks on how to do your own startup, I think it's really great to start doing it in the evening, chip by chip, because, I think the scariest thing is quitting your job and pouring your life savings or taking money from an investor and then just quitting everything and you're jumping off a cliff into the unknown. That to me is so scary. What's not as scary is just, working a little bit over time, completely stressed out some days, but starting it a little bit by little bit by little bit in the evening. And I've also been able to, even when Mammy has really pissed me off at times, I've been able to step away and then come back to it when I'm in a better mood or just having to collect my thoughts a bit more. And also never had the pressure to make bad branding or pressured decisions because I was dependent on it for my income in the beginning. Yeah. And I think sometimes startups or just people in general, when you're really desperate for cash, you make really bad decisions to get sales, and that's really not good for branding. So I think for the first years it was able to stay cool.
Yeah.
Because I never had to sell out or do anything like that. But
is it now a full-time job that you have, or are you still having your part-time job? No.
Full-time. It's full-time now. It was one of those things. It's like started in the evening, then it was one day a week, then it was 2 days a week and doing other jobs. And then eventually a year ago, it was one day a week freelancing and then 4 days Mammy. It was actually like 7 days Mammy sometimes. But it was like that last freelance job, which is the last plunge, because, you really want a little bit to pay your rent or your health insurance or something. And you're like, oh no, I just want to keep that safe. And then you've just got to cut that off, because otherwise you can never focus on on your company. But it was just in the beginning, it was for the first year, it was really finding out the process, the steps, because there's no PDF download file of how to start a beauty company. Otherwise, I don't know. Otherwise everyone would do it. But a lot of trial and error, everything from bureaucratic things to health and safety things to financial things, obligation, lots of mistakes that I had to work out, and language barrier, cash problems. I think I started with 700 euros in capital.
That's very interesting. I think my community or lots of people out there think that founding a company or starting with a startup is very intensive, like in terms of money and resources, but you had 700 euros and you managed to do it.
What was
what was kind of the the success factor, or was there anything that you, how did you manage to overcome your limitations at the beginning?
Yeah, I think, well, the reason why it worked is because Mermi grew with me. It like grew with my skill set. So when, like, you know, no money, no problems. So you don't really have, I mean, you have to learn as you go, but I wouldn't have even known what to do if someone gave me 50,000 euros. Like, I wouldn't have even known where to spend it, what to do. So
I totally feel you.
I actually probably would have paid someone's salary to do it for me. I would have put in a CEO as the first thing. But it grew as I did. And then now it's have an office now. And
nice. How many people do you employ?
I freelance with, I don't have anyone full-time, but I work with like 3 or 4 freelancers doing different things.
Nice.
So, but I think that's the next plunge for 2019 is getting someone in either part-time or full-time, or maybe taking on 2 more people to do part-time things. Yeah. But it's always a balancing act. And
amazing. So two questions. How did you have any background in economics, or did you have where did you get your knowledge from? You didn't know anything, right? Or did you have like studies or something?
No, I don't have a degree in anything like that. I studied fashion, fashion design, so nothing to do with numbers or anything, completely creative studies. I didn't even really finish it properly, that course. So I have no background in anything economics. And that's really a part of the company that's suffering because of that lack of knowledge. So I think, for example, the next employee or freelancer I take on, I need to now start having people with those kinds of skills.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But it's important to learn as well.
Yeah, and learning by doing or on the go, as you just said, right? That you just have to take the first steps and then you will see how it develops, and then you can still ask somebody if you don't have
Always, there's so much help. And I think back to your question when you said some people are so scared about thinking starting a startup needs to be this huge deal. And when I hear the stories about quitting your full-time job and pouring in all your savings, that is so scary. I would be freaked out doing that as well. That's like the end of no return. And then sitting in your pajamas in a living room, you start waking up later every day, you know, you get just so depressed, you get into this cycle and you have like creative writer's block. That's awful. Like, unless you have a really solid plan. I mean, it also depends on what product you want to do as well. I think starting off with 700 euros in capital was really dumb because I ended up needing more. But as I said, it grew with me as I realized, oh, actually the note, that's like the notary cost in itself is getting just chewed up all that. But it depends on what the product is. And one thing I always also recommend is don't try and think too big. Make steps that you could churn out in the next 3 months. Yeah. I know people always want to think big, big, big. No, what's something that you could get on a website or actually have in production in 3 months? What's the lowest minimum order quantity? Mm-hmm. Like everything I've done with Mermi has like the quantity of the, whether it's bottles or bags or anything, this grows still in its fourth year. Mm-hmm. So it's growing slowly and not having to make such a big deal about it. Breaking it down into like small pieces.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm doing right now as well, just to test it and to think in like results all the time, but also in the process, just to see, to learn on the go and to see how everything develops, right? And
I think there's no perfect way to do anything. If there was, everyone would have a successful business. The best person to do Natalie's business is Natalie. You know, it's going to make it special and unique. So,
And when did you realize that it's working out? You know, that some people who are not your friends, not your family, are going to
no sympathy buys anymore.
Yeah. Do you know?
No, 99% of coupons being used.
Do you know the mom test, the book?
Oh no, but it sounds like my mom's very honest though. So.
Yeah, don't ask your mother because she's too nice with you and your product. Yeah, when did you realize that somebody else than your family and friends is buying?
So, Well, I put up, when I first put on the online store, it would start with one order a month or something. And even then it was like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. And I was still working full time. It'd be like, oh my God, so, I can't believe someone ordered. And then eventually it started to get into, or I think it was like when you hear your song on radio, is how I compare it to a singer. Yeah. And in the car, is when my friend went to her university, went to university, and someone opened their Mumi Pocket package. Like they had the ticket and they'd bought it, they'd taken it from the post office. And they still hadn't unwrapped it yet. And so she was sitting behind a girl unwrapping her mummy box and filming it. It was like live. I was like, whoa. Yeah. And then it happens more and more now, which is so exciting. But I love it when people will be in the bathroom of a friend.
Yeah.
And there's like a mummy bottle on the counter. And yeah. And then they take a photo, like spotted. And they're like, yay.
No,
or if I say,
never,
yeah, yeah, no, if I say,
it, sorry.
Yeah, it's so, but I really love it. I think these are the moments when you realize, okay, this is now being treated like a normal product that anyone,
yeah,
you know, it's just like another product, which is actually a compliment in itself, because yeah. It's just mm-hmm. something like, yeah, there's so many options and I chose that one.
Yeah, like, oh, I will cool. definitely tell you where my friend got it from, if she just
yes,
found it on the internet, or if she yeah. I don't know, if she knew you, or I don't know, I will just ask her and yeah, tell you do.
I feel like that's a really important part of the story as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. I hope it wasn't like, I hope we don't ask her and then she's like, oh yeah, someone gave it to me and I didn't like it.
No. It's such a good product, really.
But I've sent you more products now.
Yeah.
Did I send you the new Hyaluron?
No, with the, for the body yeah. and
yeah,
hair.
The body oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to tell you about my experiences. And did you put your products on the internet, or how did you promote them at the beginning? Because this is something very difficult sometimes for startups to promote their products at the beginning, because they don't have the money or they don't have the reputation yet. So how did you do it?
This is the hardest thing is the marketing and the first slog of pushing out products when you have no budget. Or, I mean, there's a few different ways to do marketing. One is having this huge budget where you can just oversaturate, send out 1,000 products, PR, blah, blah, blah. For startups, it's really hard and you have to concentrate, I would say, maximum on two areas. Mm-hmm. I met Anna really early on, who does the PR for Mumi, and she's mm-hmm. amazing. And she, has been doing it ever since, and like Mumi owes a lot of its success to her for pushing it out and getting it in the right magazines. And I think it was received really well. As I think Germany's ready for more organic and natural beauty brands, so it was a really good timing thing as well. So PR, and I mean, I never go into areas that I know I'm not good at or can't afford. For example, I've never done SEO or analytics or performance marketing or all of that stuff. And I recommend to people as well, like if you're not good at it or you don't have the money, don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, Facebook marketing now, this is a degree in itself. Don't try and do a crash course in Facebook ads. That's ridiculous. Save up until you can pay someone decently to do it. And then you have to do testing, which is also really expensive. Mm-hmm. Then you have to do... Yeah, I mean, the internet stuff is also changing so quickly that I think it's something you've got to really invest in, which I haven't yet properly. I do Instagram and everything, but that to me is different as well. That's because that's sort of that's PR as well a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah.
The influencers and the bloggers, and it's so crazy how important they are becoming now. Mm-hmm. The influencer marketing, it's actually a form of marketing now, well and truly. It's Yes. It's like there used to be TV, radio, print, and I think influencer, however they do it, if it's like at meet and greets or yeah. on their podcasts like this, or it's just its own.
Yeah. Well, and how did you meet Anna then? Because this is what lots of people ask me, like, how did you find your team and how did you find people who support your project?
Mm-hmm. Anna found me. No, I think she was on Instagram. Anna was searching and found Mumi, and then I think it was in 2016. Yeah, and then we met up, and yeah, and it was great. And she really gets the. She's definitely a Mumi girl, and she definitely gets the brand. And
nice.
Yeah, we're still working together today, so I've been really, really lucky.
Amazing. Actually, yeah. It's the kind of a similar story with my designers for CapsKeeper for my startup. They also contacted me on Instagram, and now I'm so happy to have them. Without them, wouldn't be like that.
It's freelancing, and they're freelancing as well. Can you explain it to me a little bit, your business?
Yeah, of course. It's CapsKeeper. Did you see it? I have the startup school or startup Schule where
the podcast. This is the one I know,
sharing my experiences. And I'm gaining my experiences with my my startup, which is called CapsKeeper. And you have I will show you. You have a time capsule where you can
My gosh.
Or if you have anything, like, for example, for startups, I love this this kind of user case. For startup founders who start their companies, they can just put down what they write down their feelings and what they had in mind when they started their company. Because when you're confronted with challenges, it might happen that you don't know why you started, and you feel like, I don't know, giving up or something. And then you can just fix a date in the future and send it back to us. And in the future, it will come back to you.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I think that's so special. It's like, this is why I never throw out my diaries, because I will never use a phone. I always have a paper diary, and I have my list, my daily list every day that I check stuff off on. And it's so interesting when you look back at your diary from like even 2014, the stuff that I thought was even worthy of being on the list, you're like, oh, I would deal with that now before breakfast. And back then it was like the most important job of the week.
Yeah, that's
like, really cool. I want to see that.
Yeah, and especially with startup founders, I have a startup booklet where I write down my everything that I do in the process of founding my company. And this is so excited because I forget so many things, and I just have to take a look in the booklet and see what happened like 3 weeks ago. And it's amazing just to document everything. Yeah.
Because you forget so many things. Mm-hmm. I think my lists get even longer now because the amount of things you really do forget. Even if it's just replying to an email, you think, that should just be so obvious because it's in your inbox. And it's not. You need to write everything down otherwise.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So I just said that sometimes as a startup founder, you are confronted with challenges, and did you have any challenges worth mentioning, or are there, and how did you cope or manage to cope with them? Do you have any advice, or I don't know, because I think almost every founder had some kind of challenges in the past.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope it wasn't just me. No, I think the one thing I really regret is not setting up proper structures. In my defense, I didn't have the skills to know how to do that. But I definitely, if I had to give advice, it would be to take advantage of the tools that are available now. This could be things that help you with your accounting. This could be, a social media planner, things like that. I mean, I never thought, I don't want all these apps. And it takes a long time to learn how to do them as well each time. Which is also, you think, oh no, I'm just gonna make the invoice myself on Excel sheet or something. And really, no, if you just really take the time how to learn how to do at least one software per category of your company, it makes life so much easier. And I'm now having to do that now. Go back and all this stuff. It makes me so angry that I've wasted so much time when I could have been using these tools, because they make everything better and faster. Sometimes they're only like €8 a month, or I was like, this is crazy, why wasn't I using this? It's like, and I think if you get set in your ways, it's you're going to get left behind as well. It's as sad as it is, it's such a fast moving world now. And it doesn't mean you have to be completely high tech, but if you're in something where if you're selling products especially that are trend focused, it should be your job to research these things every week and see what you're missing out on or what. And I never thought I'd be the person to say that, because I hate shit like that, but it's you can still do it at your own pace, but at least you've got to know about them.
I feel you, because I'm actually like this, but that's what I just said, that we're not focusing on the end result right now, like selling, but rather to prepare everything, to have everything done very properly, and to set everything up, and then we can start. Like we sell already, but we still work on the processes and everything. So yeah,
that's cool. You just started though.
Yeah,
that's good, because I think a lot of people wait as well, and if you just keep waiting, yeah. I mean, you're never going to be ready ever.
So you have the mindset start before you're ready, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, nothing's ever going to be ready, and it gets worse as I get older. As I get older now, because it's just like, no, you just have to go. And I feel like when I give myself a little bit of this stress, like, okay, well, the press release is going out on Tuesday. Guess we've got to finalize this thing, and it's, you know, otherwise, if you just keep, the weeks go by, and I've now missed even just past year, I should have launched products before Christmas to get those sales, but I wasn't right, and I still do it, and I'm giving advice on it, but just got to go.
Yeah, nice. When my community cannot see you, but when I look in your eyes, it's like they are very bright and you shine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can really see that you have kind of a vision and something like that is bigger than yourself. Like you're not doing some kind of a product. You didn't say, oh, I need to make money right now and as fast as possible. But you have a story behind your company. How would you describe your feeling when you think about your company? And maybe you can also tell my community how everything is going to develop, if you have any plan how your company is going to develop in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. I always love feeling interested in something, and this is always relates back to Memi so much. I actually just updated the our story page on the Memi website. And Memi, my grandma, when she died, my dad and I were going through her things, and I found this certificate that she had completed in business management when she was, I think, 70 or late 70s, I think. And I was like, Dad, why does a woman living in the middle of nowhere do a correspondence certificate in business education, business administration? And Dad was like, I have no idea. It was like typical Memi. And like she always had something to keep her busy and entertaining. And this is another reason why she was such an amazing woman. And I always thought, I really want to have a passion like that I can take until I'm that old. Because I really want to be inspired. I never liked the idea of retiring or anything like that. It's like, I like the idea of having something that's so enjoyable, and lucky for you, if you can make it so economic, financially rewarding, that you only have to do work 3 days a week. Or, you know, sometimes right now, if I'm feeling really stressed out, I love that maybe I don't work on Monday, or I just sleep in till I let myself naturally wake up, or I just do 2 half days because I'm just so burnt out and I had a really big week. And these little things make me so happy and appreciative of having my own business. But of course, there's a lot of stressed out weeks to get to that point. But I think for a plan for Memi, I want to get more and more products out, maybe something in another area to do with health. I've got an idea for something like that, still oil related. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do really want to do something that gives back more of a health aspect, because I think beauty can sometimes be a little bit, I mean, we're not saving lives, make lives a little bit more fun and everything, but it's still not doing the social community impact. But
yeah, but maybe you have some nice recipes of your grandma still, like of something for inhaling, or putting something on your feet is also very important.
Did you hear this from your grandma?
No, I didn't, but a friend of mine told me, and I was actually shocked, because after showering in the morning, I always put like some kind of cream on my feet. And then she told me, you have actually, your feet is kind of absorbing everything. Yeah. And I was like,
they say you're like the root of the tree are your feet.
Yeah. And now I put your oil on.
Oh, cool.
A mixture of your oil and an orange essential oil. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that smells so nice.
Yeah.
Orange essential
oil. Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I have some essential oils with Mumi now as the boosters, because it's doing customized skincare. Yeah. So I really like the idea of being able to mix and match the oils together. I mean, there's so many combinations you can do. I think, and I want to release more of those little boosters, which are the essential oils. And
yeah. Well, I'm very excited. What's going to happen with Mumi? So nice. Really. But the last two questions, do you have any book or anything that you would say changed your life, or your kind of your perspective or your the way you look at your business or something. Do you have anything in mind, or do you listen to podcasts, or I don't know?
Well, I mean, and in terms of business and business research things, I never really got into the blogging thing because I wouldn't really say I'm a business person. As I said, I was just like someone who couldn't find their product and then made it work. I think you can have like a trigger moment when you meet someone who has not a mentor, but someone who has a business that you really love. And I love Linda Rodin in New York, who has she has a really successful oil company as well. And it's beautiful. And I love the way she has a really small portfolio of products. And she started her first oil. She launched the company when she was 59. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love this idea of, again, this is so mermy. It's like, you know, your life doesn't stop no matter how old you get. And so I find women like this so cool that at 15, you know, nearly 60 years old, starting a beauty cosmetic company, which is such an industry that favors the youth and the cool, you know, everything has to be cool and trendy. And then now she's just sold it to Estee Lauder. And, wow. You know, and for me, this is, I mean, it's, I think it's more than 10 years old now. And I think it's so cool. Women like this, it's like.
Yeah. Anything is possible. I always tell.
Exactly. Anything's possible. And she never, she's just someone who was passionate, who had a great idea. And
yeah. Nice.
Why not? Nice. Nearly 60 years old. I find that so cool as well.
Yeah, I think it's very important to have kind of a role model or somebody to look at who has actually already excelled in something that you want to kind of achieve yourself.
Friend, I have a really great friend, Noah, who lives here in Berlin, and she has a really, really successful jewelry company, and she's just started life doing life coaching. And this is something that I never thought I would be interested or need a life coach or anything until she was telling me about, so she wants to do sessions, and this is a person I would love to do it with because she's already done what my dream is. And so she has, I think, you know, 11 staff in Manhattan, has this amazing jewelry company. It's achieved every success and department store purchase and everything. But then now she wants to step back and do something else. And, you know, people like this is, I think I get my advice from people who've shown me that they can do it. Yeah. Not necessarily reading it in a book, or I always like the autobiographies or advice from people who've actually done it.
Nice.
And had their own business, even if they didn't study it or something.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I just wanted to say. I totally agree that sometimes you don't even learn it at university or at school. You can really, I like to learn from people who have already done what I would like to achieve. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Definitely. What's your favorite way to research about business?
Actually, I listen to podcasts because I think it's a very good way.
Surprise, surprise.
And I love reading books, but actually I also do the same. I love networking, and I love going to events to meet new people, because I think everybody who has founded a company has done or has faced some challenges, had some learnings, and I think you can always learn from people who are like some levels up or above you. Yeah. And this is what I do. I turn around, I give my advice or I share my experience to people who maybe are right before the founding their company, and I profit from people who are like on another level and who turn around to myself and give their learnings and share their.
It's the circle of life in a way.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if it's this thing where you have this like connection with other people who run this small business, but I was sitting in a hotel in Vienna not long ago, and I started talking to this guy, and not in a creepy way at all, but it was like his third hotel he had set up, and he had had a photography company and everything, and we ended up talking for hours and hours and hours just about the same problems but in completely different industries. I think he was 30 years older than me. Nothing in common, except we had these small businesses, and you know, you have so much in common. I don't know, it's this mutual respect thing about cash flow or stress or this and products, and I love it.
Amazing.
So it's like you have this connection before they open their mouths. I'm like, I know you must be must be a small business owner too.
Nice. But it's actually like that. And this is a question that I thought about before we started recording. Is like, do you also have build a network or something in Berlin? You have made some friends, but also people who you you connect to because of your business? And how did you find them?
I think beauty friends have come naturally when you meet people at events, and that's always going to happen. It's out and about. I'm naturally I would say I'm very social. Like, I go out, I go out a lot, and I meet I meet a lot of people. I really think this is important as well when you need to network. And I've been a bit lazy at it recently, but meeting one person a week for a coffee or a juice who's in your industry, this should also be treated like any other meeting. Yeah. Because networking and sharing your experiences is the fastest way to start. I can't even explain how many times I've just, if you have a problem or you have an idea in your life, you need to talk about it, because you'd be surprised. It's like energy. You'd be surprised how much it comes back to you. And someone's like, oh, I know this person, this person. And I think this is why women get so much further with their businesses, is because we talk way more than guys. I noticed this. I've worked in teams with guys and girls, and it's us. We're always the ones sharing more. So
I agree. Yeah, that's my impression as well. Yeah. And I'm also very surprised when I actually send an email to somebody or try to connect on Instagram, that it's so surprising how many people get back to you and tell you, of course, I'm going to help you, or let's see what we can do together. You just have to do it. You just have to try. And
No one's going to help if you don't ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to get out of there. Yeah. I think it's the hardest thing sometimes is when you have friends or if you're in a relationship when they aren't in the same, they don't have a small business. And I think I've had problems like this with my boyfriend saying, oh, you care too much about your company or, this. And it's like, if I don't, who will? It's a completely different industry. And I think this is the hardest, when you have people who aren't understanding why you're always stressed, or sometimes you just can't go to something.
Yeah.
And because if you don't put out this fire, no one else will, especially if you don't have staff or anything. It's not like you can just leave and the show will go on. You have to sort it out.
Yeah. Claire, this is such a nice ending of our podcast, but I could talk to you for hours actually, because I really share your impressions, your experiences and everything. I have just one last question, and then I'm going to tell my community how we can connect to you, how we can get access to your products. But first, I always say we are all entrepreneurs of our own lives. So we kind of take on responsibility for ourselves. Why would you say you are the entrepreneur of your own life?
I think if no one's going to do it for you, so you've got to take responsibility and step up. No one's going to entertain you. No one's going to make you happy. Relationships, other jobs, I don't know. Entrepreneur doesn't mean you have to actually be an entrepreneur in your profession, but it means you have to be willing to help yourself. Yeah. And I think that's the hardest thing, is not being a victim and not letting I know it's so cliche to say, but not letting what others think, their opinions affect you. And this is something I have to deal with as well. I have to work on a lot now with business, but I like that quote, being an entrepreneur of your own life. Cause it is true. It's like my mom always says, life is really what you make of it. If you don't like something, you can't blame anything else except yourself. Usually 99% of the time, it's going to be up to you to change it.
Yeah. That's actually what it was perfect how you summarized it. Amazing. Thank you so much. Claire, it was so nice to have you here in my podcast. Maybe you can just quickly tell something about how we can get your products and how we can maybe get in touch with you if we want to.
Sure. Definitely. So
Instagram page you have, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Mermi. So Merme Berlin .com, or Mermi Berlin is the Instagram handle. We have an online store. And I think there's maybe 30 stores around Germany and Europe where you can buy the products. There should be some in most German place in most German cities. So check it out.
Yay. Great. Yeah, we will. I will put it in the show notes as well, so my community can easily find it and get access.
Cool. There's a stockist page there. So
amazing.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you so much. And I really, really enjoy your product, and I'm going to tell you about my experience with the.
I would really love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love hearing back on it. And you've got nice long hair, so the hair product will be good.
Oh yeah, it will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Natalie. Bye.
Bye-bye.